Here I am with Susanna Mergani to talk about her feature film debut, Cotton Queen. Hi, Susanna.
Hello.
Yeah, you just presented your film here at the Arabic Film Festival in Berlin. How do you feel that your film is traveling all around the world? Because you premiered it last year at Venice. Unfortunately, I couldn't see it there.
Really happy that the film is making its rounds all over the world. Especially happy that it's coming here to Germany because, you know, my main producer is Caroline Daub, is German. We had the Munich premiere yesterday, which was beautiful. It was a great theater. We had a great audience response. We had a very big Sudanese audience who came as well, including a German audience as well. And it was a lovely sunny day.
So your film is the first feature fiction film that's coming from Sudan that's written and directed by a woman. How does it feel for you as a female director to break into this male-dominated industry?
It's, you know, it's surreal. In Sudan, our film industry is not even that developed. So even men don't have that many films. I think there is something like 10 fiction feature films in the history of Sudanese filmmaking. So even the volume of production is not that much. But I'm happy to advance the field, to work in cinema as a woman, because we don't even have the field to begin with.
Would you say that the Sudanese film industry is quite patriarchal structure, which probably could be said about many film industry aspects? Like, I'm just about to go to Cannes and it's a very patriarchal festival.
Right, exactly.
And so it's not necessarily different here in Central Europe.
So of course it is. It's an issue in any industry. In any industry, it's always male dominated. In Sudan, we don't actually have what you can call a film industry. You know, there's not something that regularly produces films. It's individual filmmakers that make their own films, but even still, it's weighted towards men.
And of course, there's the war and the civil war that most people associate with Sudan. How much did that influence the film? Because as far as I'm aware, it had a direct impact on the production as it happened.
Right. So we had a war that began in 2023. And that was the year that we were supposed to see if we can actually make the film. Sudan regularly goes through conflict. So it impacted us because we couldn't safely make the film in Sudan. Actually, we couldn't make this in Sudan no matter what. So we moved the production to Egypt. We ended up shooting in Egypt because also the actors all became refugees in Egypt, or they all had to flee Sudan, and most of them were in Egypt. So we took the film to them.
The story itself, it's both contemporary but also deeply connected to the colonial past. How much did you learn when you grew up about this colonial past? How did you study and research it? And how did the idea grow to make a film that incorporates it?
In Sudan, colonialism is everywhere. You can see it visually. It's bridges, it's buildings, it's roads. You know about the British past, but you don't know it personally as a child, right? You just see it. It was only later when I was older that I started reading and researching for the film, not just for the film, but in general too, for my own interests, and finding out just how much Sudan was shaped by British colonial interests, including the cotton industry, which was built by the British. Normally, Sudanese farmers have a very personal relationship to the land, and it's not an industry. They grow it for themselves. They grow it to make their own clothes. It's not a cash crop. And then, of course, the Brits came in and turned everything into an industry.
How real is that, what we see in the film, the aspect of the British also having certain relationships or direct battles with the local population? We have this figure, this elderly woman, a matriarch called El Cid. She's also the main character of the short film that you based your film on. We hear her version of the past, but she's also an unreliable narrator. Some aspects that she tells of herself as being a hero might not be true. Is that also a thing with Sudanese population, that there's an elderly generation who would like to see themselves as resistance fighters, but maybe wasn't?
I think it's not just in Sudan. I think it's any elderly person. If you ever asked your grandparents to tell you a story about their lives, they are always the hero of their own story. And there's no way that you can fact check. There's nobody that you can go and ask. There's no newspaper you can open to find out the truth. So they will always give you the best version of themselves. And I think El Cid has taken that a step further because she lived through British colonialism. And so she is telling Nafisa, the protagonist, that she single-handedly saved the village from Britain. And who is to deny that?
Is it rare for an elderly woman to hold that much authority, as we see from the character in the film?
Sudan is a very complex situation because it's very patriarchal in public, but it's very very matriarchal in private. So normally the grandmothers are actually the people who control the household. They control who gets married, when they get married, who they get married to, including the men. They have the say about who gets married to whom. So they have a lot of power in the household. I thought it was interesting to actually take that power beyond. In Sudan, we have also a history of queens, not just kings. So going back, ancient Sudan, going back to the kingdoms of Kush, the queens ruled with their husbands or sons. There is a history there, and so it's very complicated. So you couldn't say that it's 100% patriarchal society, but at least it is in public, not in private.
An important aspect of the film is also the influence of westernized members of the population who maybe are born in Sudan or have Sudanese family or roots, but then they have business in the West, in the US, in Europe, and come back to Sudan with capitalistic concepts and basically incorporate a new form of imperialism. It's kind of as if colonialism would come back, but in the shape of the own population.
And this is happening a lot, and we're seeing this a lot because there's a huge Sudanese diaspora, and there has been for many years, ever since the colonial times. People who go to London especially learn from the colonizer, and they learn the ways of the colonizer. But now I think everyone is learning neoliberal exploitation, and that's not necessarily a colonial concept, but it is a neo-colonial concept about just how to go to a new virgin land and extract as much as possible. Even if it comes with a Sudanese face, it still has the background of British colonial.
In the film, it's especially in the form of genetically manipulated cotton crops. Is that actually a thing in Sudan?
Yes, very much so. So when I was doing my research for this film, I was actually quite shocked to learn about how much the Sudanese cotton farming has changed. We used to have original Sudanese cotton that was almost entirely replaced by genetically modified seeds that come from China, India, and Brazil, and they're brought by outside companies. The farmers are forced to buy the seed from them. They turn into this very dependent relationship on a farm. It's quite sad. And the quality is worse. So the quantity is more, but the quality is bad.
It's also another aspect about genetically manipulated plants. They're usually supposed to be stronger, but then they turn out to be weaker.
Exactly. Because they can never fight nature. And I think that's one of the themes of the film, is that nature will always come back in some form, and you cannot totally dominate nature.
Speaking about the actors, some actors are the same that have already worked with you in the short film El Cid, which was released in 2020. Some actors you cast new because there was a larger ensemble of characters. Tell us a little bit about the casting process and how you found your characters, especially El Cid. I was most impressed really by her.
We don't have a pool of actors. We don't have a database that you can just go and, you know, pick your actors. We had to have open calls, open auditions, and most of the people who came to audition had no acting experience whatsoever. They were just interested in the idea of cinema. For the male roles, we had over hundreds of men for each role. For the girl, for Nafisa, we had 5 candidates only. In the whole of Sudan, we had 5 girls who came to audition. We had Murtada, who got the role in the end, was by far just spectacular. She was the best. But already the number shows you how Sudanese girls don't have the opportunity or are not given the opportunity to act, to be in cinema, unless they have the support of their family. So these 5 girls came with their fathers or their mothers or somebody who is supporting this future for them. For El Cid, she is a theater actor. So she doesn't normally act in cinema. So she does theater. But of course, acting for theater and acting for screen are 2 very different things. So we had the whole relearning process about how to kind of bring everything down to the emotional boiling point, not to the physicality. But I think she did a great job as well.
Yeah, it's a wonderful cast and wonderful performances. Only 5 girls came to even audition. Is acting still seen as something that's not really a proper job? Also on a financial level, often parents, even today in Central Europe, will tell you, if you like acting, fine, but get a proper exam.
Exactly. You know, it's exactly that. So normally, even for the males, it's not a good job. Like I wouldn't say shameful, but people will be like, why are you doing this? It doesn't even make sense. Because there's no industry, people don't have a role model. You can't say, oh, you can look at so-and-so, he's a millionaire now. It doesn't happen. it's something that's not encouraged. And for girls especially, it's something that is considered shameful. Mihad Murtada tells the story, actually, after we shot the proof of concept, after we shot El Cid, she would have to go home sometimes at 4 a.m. after a shoot, or 3 a.m. Then the neighbors started talking. The neighbors of her neighborhood said, oh, this girl is coming back at 4 a.m. Where is she going? So it turns into something else that was really quite innocent, becomes a problem for the community. Really, what we need to do is, you know, make sure all the community is on board. This is why when I make my films, I don't just take the character, the person, I take their family. So Mihad's father is in the film. El Cid's daughter and granddaughter is in the film. So I like to make sure that everyone, the community, is involved in filmmaking, not just the individual.
Rumors developing about young actress coming home late and all. We have a similar story actually in the film. Was it inspired or influenced by these events and developments?
Definitely, exactly. Because I remember when Mihad told me the story, I just thought that this is so interesting, first of all, because she's really trying, and she has the support of her family, and she's really trying this new field and this new profession, but she's not allowed to do it by other people, not just her family, by the community. So yes, I definitely used that part in the film. Thank you for noticing.
Did the script in general change a lot? Was there a lot of improvisation, or was it basically a stable storyline?
There was some changes, of course. Mostly, so when I wrote the script, I wrote it the way that I would say it. Old women, they speak a completely different way. They use different words. They have their own kind of, not language, but their own way of speaking. So I made sure that people were free to say what, however they wanted, as long as the sense came across. And then, of course, in the edit, of course, things change all the time.
While you were shooting the film and then it was interrupted by the war and you had to move the production and all, how long did it actually take and how hard was it on the budget? Because budget is always a problem for every production.
Yeah, it was extremely difficult, not just hard on the budget, hard on the soul, hard on our psychology. It was very, you know, taking a film that is supposed to be based in Sudan, and not just based in Sudan, based on the earth of Sudan, based in the actual community of Sudan, to completely extract that and put it in Egypt. We built the sets in Egypt. People who don't know that we did that don't know that it's not Sudan, including Sudanese people. We built it like really according to the specifications of Sudanese homes, but it was very difficult. And of course, the budget went up 2-3 times, you know, in Sudan it's not that expensive to shoot. So yes, budget-wise, of course, you would have to speak to the German producer about how she handled that. But of course, the psychology of it and the emotional distress, I think, was really, for me, more difficult to handle.
You got your film into Venice Film Festival, which is one of the most prestigious in the world, and now it has an international release. How hard would you say is it for Sudan, or in general, different countries from Africa, to break into the international A-list festival circuit? I go a lot to festivals and I see very few productions that are from any African nation. So it's a whole continent that has less films than, let's say, Italy or France or Germany. And that really says a lot.
It really does. I mean, I'm so pleased, really, that we had our premiere in Venice. It's always been a dream. And so I want to put it down to many things. Of course, I'm sure that there's a lot of luck involved, but I'm really hoping that the story really just touched the selection committee. And we screened at Critics Week, hoping that they saw something politically interesting about a film from Sudan.
What would you hope would change in the international cinematic sphere, both festival and regular cinematic releases, to allow, in general, African cinema from different countries to be represented in the same diversity than cinema from, let's say, Europe?
I think it depends on the diversity of the selecting committee also. If people are only looking for one kind of story, that's what they're going to get. But if you have a more diverse group of people who are actually making the selections, then I think you will have more room to include diversity.
Do you already have a new film project that you're working on?
Yes, I am. I'm writing. I'm taking it easy. I'm writing. I don't know where it's going exactly right now, but I'm working on my next feature.
If the audience could take one thing away from your film, what would you hope it to be?
To support Sudanese girls, to support their struggles, and to make sure that Sudan is highlighted, because, you know, we're going through a horrible, devastating war right now that's very much neglected in the media. A lot of people still don't know that there is a war happening. So just to make sure to highlight Sudan.
Thank you so much for this interview. And Cotton Queen is now starting in German cinema, so make sure to see it. It's a fantastic film. Thank you so much to Susanna Megani.
Thank you. I appreciate it.